The word of God given to us is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. I will read the words. Brothers and sisters, I cannot address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service, and you're God's field, God's building. Amen. Today is the last Sunday of this year. We give thanks to the grace of the Lord who is with us throughout this year again. We also give thanks to those who have worked hard for our church this past year. There was at least one child. This child spent his childhood in Japan. The relationship with his Japanese friends weren't great, but it wasn't that bad either. Apart from calling him Josenjing at times, a derogatory term used in Japan to refer to Koreans, they were still all right to hang out with. They played together. They had a lot of good memories, like each confessing their own little secrets inside a junk car, abandoned car, about their secret dark hideouts beneath a bridge, and more. But from time to time, they fought as well. And then an accident occurred one day. On a Japanese national holiday, the Japanese friends all dressed in colorful costumes. They tied the child up in ropes and dragged the child around, teasing and calling the child Chosenjing. He could not hold back his resentment anymore. He tried to do so to protect their relationship with friends, but he could not hold it in. So the child broke free from the rope with all his might and swung whatever they came within his grip. Then a kind of yellow liquid that looked much like pus started flowing from one friend's eye. And the child's parents were summoned to the school and had to bow their heads multiple times to the teacher and to the friend's parents to apologize. After the accident, the child's family moved to Korea, and the child was so happy to be back in the country of Chosenjing. The child wanted to hide what had happened in the past and make good friends with the kids in Korea and be a good kid. Everyone was very nice to him and took care of him. But it didn't last very long. Out of nowhere, friends started calling the child "jokbari," a derogatory term used in Korea to refer to Japanese people. There was no longer a place that he could move to, even if he were to hurt both eyes of his friends. The actual protagonist of the story ended his writing as follows. I, having left my own country where people called me Jokbari at one time, am sitting in an airport in Japan where people used to call me Chosenjing, waiting for a plane to take me to the United States. What will I be called in the States, and how will I change, and how many years will I spend there? I am so anxious. There are times when the names that I give myself and the names that others call me are different. My evaluation of myself and the evaluation that others make towards me can also be different. The followers of Christ in Corinth in today's passage thought themselves as the holy ones, but to Paul, they were closer to those who were worldly and mere humans. At the time, the Christian was a special term that was used to refer to the members of the early church. This word, which meant a group of people who follow and worship the Christ, was first used to refer to the members of the early church by people outside of the church in Antioch. It was a term that bestowed honor on the members of the church by outsiders who saw that they only believed in and worshiped the Christ, refusing all idols, or even the emperor. But what Apostle Paul saw in the followers of church in Corinth was quite different from how Christians should be. And what were the problems of the members of the church in Corinth that Paul saw? It was that they still had childish faith, who could not consume solid food because they belonged to the world. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? Paul mentions jealousy and quarreling while talking about worldly. The Greek word zelos, which is translated jealousy, also means passion and zeal. The passion is a very important trait when it comes to carrying out God's work. That itself is not a problem at all, but one must clarify what such passion is for, or for whom such passion is for. If the passion isn't for God, but for your own sake, if it is not for the community of God, but for the district or the service teams that you belong to, that passion will soon turn into jealousy. Quarreling is also another word which only Paul uses in the New Testament. We could say that this word, which also means fight, struggle, and dispute, is a result of jealousy piling up inside of a person and then eventually bursting outward. Paul regarded jealousy and quarreling as a sign that confirmed that the spiritual status of the members of the church in Corinth. There is another problem that was discussed in today's passage, chapter 3. It was that within the church of Corinth, groups of people who follow up particular leaders of the church came to be formed. With respect to them, Paul called them mere human beings. Its meaning is clearly different from the worldly, which we just considered. The Korean Revised Version translated it so that it's easier to understand. Allow me to read you verse 4 in the translation. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? Now, it's a beautiful thing to like and respect another person in a normal relationship. I, too, have someone whom I respect. I was very much influenced by this person. I have received great inspirations regarding ministry through this person's sermons. I'm always grateful that this person always serves as a great role model. But this, and blindly and absolutely following that person, is a whole different story. According to Paul, especially because only Christ is the head of the church and his origin in being united as one, those who aggravate jealousy and quarreling inside a church, saying, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Geba, are worldly, acting no better than ordinary human beings. And along with that, Paul explains the identity and role of a true minister. Let us look at verse 5. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you became to believe, as the Lord assigned to each his task. Here, the Greek word diakonoi, which is translated as servant, is a compound word of dia, a preposition that means through something, and konis, which means dirt. This was also translated as minister in the gospel, and Paul used this word to refer to his duty in the book of Corinthians. But what's important is not how this word is translated, but that the original meaning of the word servant means something like dust before God. There's so many ministers here on this earth. That doesn't mean that all ministers serve as a role model. In fact, there are more ministers who are not role models. This is because they forget at some point that they forget who they are before God. It's important that a church maintains its identity as a church, and likewise, a minister should also recover his or her minister-like qualities before God. And in order to do that, there is something that must be done first and foremost, and that is dying to the self and confessing that he or she is nothing before God. It is this confession that he or she is like a mere dust. Second is that a minister must be humble at low places. A dust is revealed when the light shines upon it. That is why a minister must stay still under the grace of God, the light, and follow the guidance of God instead of trying hard to promote the self. Thirdly, because it is God who entrusts works to each and every one of us, we must confess that God is sovereign over our lives and obey God. When a minister forgets this fact, he or she can actually become a hindrance to the ministry of God. Paul teaches us one fundamental point through verse 6 that continues in today's passage. I planted the seed, Apollo watered it, but God has been making it grow. In this short passage, Paul shows us very well the means and the essence of the gospel ministry, using three different subjects and verbs respectively. The first thing that Paul did was to plant a seed, and then Apollos watered it. But that doesn't mean that it bloomed. In order for a flower to bloom, God must shine sunlight upon it in the right amount of temperature with the adequate amount of rain and then the wind to let it know that the spring is coming. There are two things we must surely be aware of here. One thing is that even if Paul may have been the most greatest apostle in the 2,000 years of Christian history, no matter how much he spread gospel to countless number of crowds, and no matter how much of an expert Apollo was regarding the Bible with respect to the gospel, and a Jewish scholar who knew so much about Greek culture and studies, the one that makes things grow is not them, but Jehovah, our God, the Holy Spirit. Another thing is that the verb planted and watered were written in the past tense, but the original Greek phrase that was translated as making it grow was written down in the imperfect tense. The imperfect tense in Greek is the present progressive form. In other words, the ministry of men can disappear and be put to end as past. But the works of God makes past, present, even the future unroll before our eyes. The ministry of men can end as a one-time event. But the works of God means that he will be with us from now and forever. At last, Paul reaches to a conclusion to the next passage in verse 8. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. The planting in verse 8 refers to planting the seed of gospel, meaning the establishment of the church. On the other hand, to water refers to cultivating something that was planted, meaning creating an environment and condition to enable the growth of the founded church, those who were exactly the role of Apostle Paul and Apollos. But Paul testifies that all such things are one thing in God. The Korean Common Translation Bible translated this part as the one who plants and the one who waters are equal. It means that they are the same. So which work is more or less valuable, high or low, or big or small, does not matter to God at all. God's only focus is on our attitude, how faithful we are to the works that were given to us as the called, how diligently we value the work given to us with our hearts and long for the grace of God in the places where God has planted us with all his heart and soul. And it is said that he will reward us accordingly. About a month ago, I received an email from a descendant of Rosetta Hall. The email said that she was the granddaughter of Rosetta Hall, and that Phyllis Hall King, the youngest daughter of Sherwood Hall, had passed away, and that they will be holding a memorial service soon, and after the service, they will officially will be making a request that the date of her death be engraved on the gravestone next to the memorial stone of Missionary Rosetta Hall at Yanghuajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery. And so all descendants that had their names carved on the gravestone of Rosetta Hall at the cemetery have now been called by God. As you may all be aware of, Rosetta Hall is a missionary who came to Korea for medical missionary works in 1890. Although she experienced the tragedy of losing her husband and daughter while on a missionary duty in Chosun, she served Korean for 45 years with love. Her son, Dr. Sherwood Hall, established a sanatorium facility in Haeju and treated tuberculosis patients. He also led an enlightenment movement on tuberculosis, publishing the famous the Christmas Seals. On the second floor of the Mission Memorial Hall is Yanghuajin Hall, where the artifacts of the family of Dr. Halls are displayed. I went to the cemetery after receiving the email. I went and looked at the backside of the memorial stone. These were what were written there. Marion Bottomley, wife of Sherwood Hall, born England, 1896, deceased. Canada. Their children, William James, born Korea, 1927. Joseph Knightley, born Korea, 1932, deceased. Phyllis Marion, born Korea, 1934. Born in Korea. Frank Sherwood, born Korea, 1934. Deceased in Korea, 1934. On that day, I beheld a gravestone on which the year of death was not engraved with the eyes that permitted by the Spirit, although no such engraving stone could be seen with eyes, and remembered that my end will also come someday. My dear loving fellow members of the church, there is definitely an end to our lives. There will come the moment when we need to put down the period mark. On that day, God will evaluate each one of us and reward with each at the very spot where he has planted us, according to his ways and not according to the logics of the world. We must live in expectation of their reward. In chapter 11, verse 6 of the book of Hebrews, there are these well-known words. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The writer of Hebrews says that what pleases God is faith, and emphasizes with the words, must believe. It testifies that whoever goes before God must believe that God is living and that he rewards those who seek him. This year, our church used a verse from Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 41, as the verse of the year for our church, which says, I will plant them with all my heart and soul as our church motto all throughout the year. There is one part that we need to re-engrave in our hearts at this point, at which we in the year 2018. Let us take a look at Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 41 again. I will rejoice in doing them good and will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and soul. It is not written in the Korean version of the Bible, but if you read the original Greek text, the Hebrew word kol, which means every and whole, was used twice. This means that God had planted them on this land with all his heart and all his soul. Here the term napshi, which was used as earnestness, originally refers to breath, and it means soul or life. In other words, Jehovah God does not just plant his people on this land, but with all his soul, using all his life to plant each one of us. We tend to blame God or praise God only looking at the environments or the circumstances that were allowed us. But God says that he has planted us with all his heart and soul. That is why God's evaluation will not be based on what position I had in the world or how much I enjoyed my life on earth, but on how much we have acted with our heart and soul for the Lord in the places that God had planted us and for the works that he has allowed each of us. How have you spent this year? Did you live out this year regarding the places that you were planted in with all his heart and soul as the place of calling? Or did you live a life of refusing solid food with the faith of an infant like the members of the Church of Corinth? If you lived the life of the latter, then it is time you change your wrongful thoughts. We should lay down our thoughts that are still full of the logics of this world and go back to square one of our faith. You must revive the starting point of our faith. And in order to do that, I would like to encourage two things. The first is to trust and obey God who loves us till the end, guiding our lives without error. Second is to love God even more than ever. Pay attention and listen to the voice of the Lord in order to understand God's heart more than ever. That is when our faith will be restored to the very beginning, the starting point when we started to love God. Pastor Jeong Hanjo often explains in the Chinese characters that were used in the word somni or providence during the sermons of or during the early morning prayer sessions. The character for sub means to pull or to hold. This Chinese character uses the radical that means hand, sun, and three letters that mean ear, qi. So faith is to listen, and then listen again to the works of God. It's to listen with the ears, to listen with the heart, listen with the life, and listen with the past, the present, and of the future. That is the deep wisdom of faith. I will add one more thing to this. It is to see and see again and again the works of God. It is to see with the eyes, with the heart, with the life, and see the past, present, and the future, and then pray to become the hands of God. That is when the true faith and obedience will be restored. There is a story that I would like to tell you. It is about a young Caucasian man and a young Indian man who are walking down the street of New York City. On that particular day, the streets of New York was packed with people, and they've been walking for a while, when all of a sudden, the Caucasian man started waving towards the other side of the big road. The Indian man naturally looked towards that way, and the Indian friend asked, "Who is that?" The Caucasian guy replied, "Oh, my girlfriend." And so the Indian guide asked again, "Were you supposed to meet her here today?" And then the Caucasian man answered, "No, it was totally a coincidence." And so the Indian guy could not understand this at all. It was already hard enough to be standing among such a big crowd, but to wave at a friend whom he hadn't even made plans to meet up with. So he asked again, "Why would you wave at your girlfriend among this huge crowd when you didn't even make any plans to meet her up? That goes for your girlfriend too." And then the Caucasian friend answered, you just can't see when you're in love." They walked for a while, but this time the Indian guy said out of the blue, "Shh, can you hear that?" The Caucasian man answered, "Hear what?" Then the Indian man said, "Wait, hold on." And he just disappeared in between the buildings. A short while later, the Indian friend came back in front of the Caucasian man, smiling, then showed him a cricket in his hand. The Caucasian guy asked, surprised, "You heard it chirp and caught it? I mean, there are a lot of people out here with cars making loud noises. How could you even hear such a small chirp?" Then the Indian guy answered, "You can hear it if you like it." My dear loving members of the church, there is a lesson that these two young men teaches us. You will see if you love. You will hear if you like something. It's very simple, but it's the truth. Do you wish to see God's work? Do you wish to hear the voice of the Lord? Then love the Lord more than ever. Like the Lord more than ever. Then God will let us see and hear of his magnitude and of his works through our lives. Let us pray. Father, God, we confess that we were able to make it this far throughout this year with the care and providence of the Lord. We also thank you for planting each of us in our own places with all your heart and soul. However, even though you have planted each of us with all your heart and soul, we confess that we still acted to eat and receive only what we desired with the faith of an infant. We also confess that we were jealous of other people rather than loving them and condemned others rather than living in harmony with them. Please forgive us. We pray that you will make anew our wrongful minds and hearts while laying down all the times throughout this year in our loving Lord who believes and loves us to the end. Let the name Christian, which we were called 2,000 years ago, be restored on this earth through us. Help us so that our confession of our love for our Lord will be more abundant inside us in the coming year of 2019. And grant us the grace so that this year, so that the new year will become a precious year in which we will be able to see and listen, longing for your magnitude and works. We thank you. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.